Practice Test A. Section 1. Listening Comprehension. In this section of the test, you will have an opportunity to demonstrate your ability to understand conversations and talks in English. There are three parts to this section, with special directions for each part. Answer all the questions on the basis of what is stated or implied by the speakers in this test. When you take the actual TOEFL test, you will not be allowed to take notes or write in your test book. Try to work on Practice Test A in the same way. Part A. Directions. In Part A, you will hear short conversations between two people. After each conversation, you will hear a question about the conversation. The conversations and questions will not be repeated. After you hear a question, read the four possible answers in your book and choose the best answer. Then, on your answer sheet, find the number of the question and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Here is an example. On the recording, you hear,
"I don't like this painting very much."
"Neither do I."
What does the man mean? In your book, you read, A. He doesn't like the painting either. B. He doesn't know how to paint. C. He doesn't have any paintings. D. He doesn't know what to do. You learn from the conversation that neither the man nor the woman likes the painting. The best answer to the question, "What does the man mean?" is A. He doesn't like the painting either. Therefore, the correct choice is A. Go on to the next page. Now we will begin Part A with the first conversation. Number 1.
Would you like to go to the movies with Lois and me on Friday?
I wish I could, but I'm having dinner at my brother's.
What will the woman do on Friday? Number 2.
Need a hand with those boxes?
That's okay. I can manage. They're empty.
What does the woman mean? Number 3.
Do you want the windows open or closed?
I almost always prefer fresh air, if possible.
What does the man imply? Number 4.
Hello, this is Mark Smith. I'm calling to see if my blood test results are in.
Dr. Miller just sent them to the lab last night, so the earliest they could be back is tomorrow.
What does the woman mean? Number 5.
I need to talk to someone who knows a lot about Portland. Someone said you lived there.
Oh, but I was really young at the time.
What does the woman imply? Number 6.
Do you have to play that music so loud? I've got a test tomorrow.
Sorry, I didn't realize you were studying.
What will the woman probably do? Number 7.
Pam, I don't understand the problem. You've known for months this report was due today.
I know, but I'm afraid I need another few days. The data was harder to interpret than I thought it would be.
What does the woman mean? Number 8.
So So how are you getting along with Debbie's cat?
Well, she never comes when I call her. She spills her food, and she sheds all over the place. I can't wait till Debbie gets back.
What does the man imply? Number 9.
This crazy bus schedule has got me completely frustrated. I can't for the life of me figure out when my bus to Cleveland leaves.
Why don't you just go up to the ticket window and ask?
What does the woman suggest the man do? Number 10.
I bought this fish to cook for my dinner tonight, but it doesn't look all that fresh to me now. Would you say it's still all right to eat?
Let's take a look. Oh, if I were you, I wouldn't even think of it.
What does the woman mean? Number 11.
Would you like to go with me to the airport to pick up Frank?
I'd like to, but I have class till 2, and I know Frank's decided to take the early flight.
What does the woman imply? Number 12.
Did you catch our very own Professor Stiller on TV last night?
I almost missed it, but my mother just happened to be watching at home and gave me a call.
What does the man mean? Number 13.
These summer days are getting to be more than I can take. It was even too hot to go to the pool yesterday.
Hold on. According to the weather report, we should have some relief by the end of the week.
What does the man mean? Number 14.
My roommate and I have decided to do our own cooking next semester.
Then I hope you'll have a lighter schedule than this term.
What problem does the woman think the man may have? Number 15.
Come on, we're almost there. I'll race you to the top of the hill.
No, I'm so out of shape. I might have to crawl the rest of the way.
What can be inferred about the man? Number 16.
Yes, hello. This is Robert White calling. Could Dr. Jones see me on Tuesday morning instead of Tuesday afternoon?
Tuesday morning? Let's see. Is that the only other time you could come?
What does the woman imply? Number 17.
I really need to make some extra money. I've practically spent my entire budget for the semester.
You should check out the new cafeteria. I think there are a few openings left in the evening.
What does the woman suggest the man do? Number 18.
Driving at night always makes me tired. Let's stop for dinner.
Fine. And let's find a motel, too. Instead of continuing on, we can get an early start tomorrow.
What will the speakers probably do? Number 19.
This notice says that all the introductory psychology classes are closed.
That can't be true. There's supposed to be 13 sections of it this semester.
What does the woman mean? Number 20.
Whoops. Did any of my coffee just spill on you?
It's hot. Is that all you have to say?
What does the woman imply? Go on to the next page. Number 21.
Oh, my shirt sleeve. Must have gotten caught on that nail.
Here, let me take a look. With a needle and thread, this can be mended and look just like new.
What does the woman mean? Number 22.
I'm looking for a lightweight jacket. Navy blue... medium.
Let's see. Have you checked the sales rack in the back? There were still a few there yesterday.
What does the man mean? Number 23.
I've figured it all out. It looks like it'll take us about 6 hours to drive from here to Chicago.
It'd be more relaxing to take the train, but I guess we should watch our expenses.
What does the woman imply? Number 24.
I've been working out at the gym since January, so I'd been wanting to get in better shape.
You look terrific. Seems like all your hard work has paid off.
What does the woman mean? Number 25.
This heat is unbearable. If only we'd gone to the beach instead.
Why, with the museums and restaurants in Washington, I'd be happy here no matter what the weather.
What does the woman mean? Number 26.
I don't know what to do with Timmy. This morning I found orange juice spilled all over the kitchen floor.
Don't be so hard on him. He's only 4.
What does the woman imply? Number 27.
When's a good time to get together to discuss our history project?
Other than this Wednesday, one day's as good as the next.
What does the man mean? Number 28.
Congratulations. I heard your field hockey team is going to the Mid-Atlantic Championships.
Yeah, now we're all working hard to get ready for our game tomorrow.
What will the woman probably do this afternoon? Number 29.
Can you come over for dinner tonight?
I'm up to my ears in work, so I'll have to take a rain check.
What does the woman mean? Number 30.
If you rub some soap on that drawer, it might stop sticking.
Well, maybe. But if I took out the paper that's fallen down in back, that would help for sure.
What is the problem? This is the end of Part A. Go on to the next page. Now read along as the directions for Part B are being read. Part B, Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear longer conversations. After each conversation, you will hear several questions. The conversations and questions will not be repeated. After you hear a question, read the four possible answers in your book and choose the best answer. Then, on your answer sheet, find the number of the question and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Remember, you should not take notes or write on your test pages. Go on to the next page. Now we will begin Part B with the first conversation. Questions 31 through 34. Listen to a conversation between two teaching assistants.
Stan, do you have a minute?
Oh, hi, Kathy. Sure. What's up?
Well, I've been meaning to talk to you about the situation in the office.
I'm not in there very often. It's so noisy that I can't work.
That's exactly what I'm getting at. We're supposed to be able to do our preparation and marking in that office. But have you noticed? Jack constantly has students coming in to get help with his course. A lot of people are going in and out.
Has anybody spoken to him about it?
No, not yet. But someone's going to have to.
We can't really ask him to stop having students come in for help, can we?
No, of course not. But I'm not able to do my work, and neither are you. I imagine it's the same for the others in the office.
Hmm. Could we ask for a kind of meeting room? When TAs have to talk with a student, they could go to the meeting room and not use the office. You know, there's a room down the hall, a rather small room, that we could ask to use. It's only for storing supplies.
You mean that little storage room? Oh, that would be too small.
Are you sure? With the cabinets taken out, it might be bigger than it looks.
Come to think of it, you may be on to something. I'd like to have a look at that room. Can we go there now?
Sure, let's go.
Number 31. What problem at the office are Kathy and Stan discussing? Number 32. Why do Jack's students come to see him? Number 33. What does Stan suggest they do? Number 34. What does Kathy say about Stan's suggestion? Questions 35 through 38. Listen to a conversation between two students.
I really appreciate your filling me in on yesterday's lecture.
No problem. I thought you might want to go over it together. And anyway, it helps me review. Hope you're feeling better now.
I am, thanks. So, you said she talked about squid? Sounds a little strange.
Well, actually, it was about the evolution of sea life, a continuation from last week. The octopus and the squid descended from earlier creatures with shells. They survived by shedding their shells, somewhere between 200 and 500 million years ago.
That's a pretty long span of time.
I know. That's what she said, though. To be precise, exactly when they emerged is uncertain, and why is still unexplained.
Some squid are really huge. Can you imagine something that big if it still had a shell?
Actually, it's because they lost their shells that they could evolve to a bigger size.
Makes sense. But some are really huge. I've read about fishermen that caught squid that weighed over a ton. Did she talk about how that happens?
Not really, but she did mention some unusual cases. In 1933, in New Zealand, they caught a squid. Let's see here. It was 22 yards long. Its eyes were 18 inches across. Can you imagine?
Reminds me of all those stories of sea monsters.
Dr. Simpson thinks there are probably even larger ones that haven't been found because squid are intelligent and fast, so they can easily get away from humans. Maybe some of those monster stories are true.
Number 35. What topic are the man and woman discussing? Number 36. Why does the man need to talk to the woman about the class? Number 37. According to the woman, what happened 200 to 500 million years ago? Number 38. What does the woman imply about sea monsters? This is the end of Part B. Go on to the next page. Now read along as the directions for Part C are being read. Part C, Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear several short talks. After each talk, you will hear some questions. The talks and the questions will not be repeated. After you hear a question, read the four possible answers in your book and choose the best answer. Then, on your answer sheet, find the number of the question and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Here is an example. On the recording, you hear, listen to an instructor talk to his class about a television program.
I'd like to tell you about an interesting TV program that'll be shown this coming Thursday. It'll be on from 9 to 10 p.m. on Channel 4. It's part of a series called Mysteries of Human Biology. The subject of the program is the human brain, how it functions, and how it can malfunction. Topics that will be covered are dreams, memory, and depression. These topics are illustrated with outstanding computer animation that makes the explanations easy to follow. Make an effort to see this show. Since we've been studying the nervous system in class, I know you'll find it very helpful.
Now listen to a sample question. What is the main purpose of the program? In your book, you read, A. To demonstrate the latest use of computer graphics. B. To discuss the possibility of an economic depression. C. To explain the workings of the brain. D. To dramatize a famous mystery story. The best answer to the question, what is the main purpose of the program, is C. To explain the workings of the brain. Therefore, the correct choice is C. Now listen to another sample question. Why does the speaker recommend watching the program? In your book, you read, A. It is required of all science majors. B. It will never be shown again. C. It can help viewers improve their memory skills. D. It will help with coursework. The best answer to the question, why does the speaker recommend watching the program, is D. It will help with coursework. Therefore, the correct choice is D. Remember, you should not take notes or write on your test pages. Go on to the next page. Now we will begin Part C with the first talk. Questions 39 through 42. Listen to a talk given by the Dean of the School of Education.
Community service is an important component of education here at our university. We encourage all students to volunteer for at least one community activity before they graduate. A new community program called One-on-One helps elementary students who've fallen behind. You education majors might be especially interested in it because it offers the opportunity to do some teaching, that is, tutoring in math and English. You'd have to volunteer 2 hours a week for one semester. You can choose to help a child with math, English, or both. Half-hour lessons are fine, so you could do a half-hour of each subject 2 days a week. Professor Dodge will act as a mentor to the tutors. He'll be available to help you with lesson plans or to offer suggestions for activities. He has office hours every Tuesday and Thursday afternoon. You can sign up for the program with him and begin the tutoring next week. I'm sure you'll enjoy this community service, and you'll gain valuable experience at the same time. It looks good on your resume, too, showing that you've had experience with children and that you care about your community. If you'd like to sign up, or if you have any questions, stop by Professor Dodge's office this week.
Number 39. What is the purpose of the talk? Number 40. What is the purpose of the program the dean describes? Number 41. What does Professor Dodge do? Number 42. What should students interested in the tutorials do? Questions 43 through 46. Listen to an instructor in a business class.
I hope you've all finished reading the assigned chapter on insurance so that you're prepared for our discussion today. But before we start, I'd like to mention a few things your text doesn't go into. It's interesting to note that insurance has existed in some form for a very long time. The earliest insurance policies were what were called bottomry contracts. They provided shipping protection for merchants as far back as 3000 BC. In general, the contracts were often no more than verbal agreements. They granted loans to merchants with the understanding that if a particular shipment of goods was lost at sea, the loan didn't have to be repaid. Interest on the loans varied according to how risky it was to transport the goods. During periods of heavy piracy at sea, for example, the amount of interest and the cost of the policy went up considerably. So you can see how insurance helped encourage international trade. Even the most cautious merchants became willing to risk shipping their goods over long distances, not to mention in hazardous weather conditions, when they had this kind of protection available. Generally speaking, the basic form of an insurance policy has been pretty much the same since the Middle Ages. There are four points that were salient then and remain paramount in all policies today. These were outlined in Chapter 6 and will serve as the basis for the rest of today's discussion. Can anyone tell me what one of those points might be?
Number 43. What is the purpose of the instructor's talk? Number 44. Who were the first insurance contracts designed to protect? Number 45. What does the instructor say determined the cost of early insurance policies? Number 46. What does the instructor say about current insurance policies? Questions 47 through 50. Listen to a talk on the radio about a research project.
Located at the NASA Research Center in Iowa is a 5,000-gallon vat of water, and inside the tank is an underwater treadmill designed by Dave Newman, an aerospace engineer. For 4 years, Newman observed scuba divers as they simulated walking on the moon and on Mars on her underwater moving belt. She wanted to discover how the gravity of the moon and of Mars would affect human movement. To do this, Newman attached weights to the divers and then lowered them into the tank and onto the treadmill. These weights were carefully adjusted so that the divers could experience, underwater, the gravity of the moon and of Mars as they walked on the treadmill. Newman concluded that walking on Mars will probably be easier than walking on the moon. The moon has less gravity than Mars does, so at lunar gravity, the divers struggled to keep their balance and walked awkwardly. But at Martian gravity, the divers had greater traction and stability and could easily adjust to a pace of 1.5 miles per hour. As Newman gradually increased the speed of the treadmill, the divers took longer, graceful strides until they comfortably settled into an even quicker pace. Newman also noted that at Martian gravity, the divers needed less oxygen. The data Newman collected will help in the future design of Martian spacesuits. Compared to lunar spacesuits, Martian spacesuits will require smaller air tanks, and to allow for freer movement, the elbow and knee areas of the spacesuits will also be altered.
Number 47. What did Newman change so that the divers could experience different gravity levels? Number 48. Why will Martian spacesuits be designed differently from lunar spacesuits? Number 49. What happened to the divers at Martian gravity when the speed of the treadmill was increased? Number 50. What is one way that the design of Martian spacesuits will differ from lunar spacesuits? This is the end of Section 1 of Practice Test A. Set your clock for 25 minutes and begin work on Section 2.